Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch.
I'm Amelia.
And I'm Evan. And we're about to have the times of our lives.
Yes, we are. Oh, it's so great to be back. Happy Tuesday if you listen the day it's released. Work.
And if you don't, happy whatever day of the week it is.
I love that.
I feel bad for saying that.
Okay, so we are already on episode 5 of season 1.
No, we're powering through this.
This is crazy. I feel like it's going too fast. Like, it's like, should we
just slow it down?
Should one episode be one whole season?
No, exactly.
We're doing it for 62 years.
Wait, what should we do after this? Is it too early for me to talk?
Okay, and no, if you guys are hearing the voice, like, don't worry about it. We'll bring it up in a second.
No, we love it. No, I know. We've actually thought about this. I think our initial impulse is Broad City, or we just talk about Girls until we die. We just rewatch it all over
again. Yeah, we'll just keep rewatching it. What did the Gilmore Guys do?
Well, they stopped in season 3 because there's so many episodes of that show.
Oh, they gave up?
Yeah. They quit.
They did for 5 years, and somehow they only go through three. Wait, no, it's
that
true.
Actually pisses me off.
No, they're still releasing today.
They're quitters.
But there's a whole new, it's a no girl. So it's a guy and the two guys. One of them is now gone, and now it's a guy and a girl.
Wait, am I in this conversation?
You can be whoever you want to be.
Wait, am I
we
in
can't
yet?
Label
okay,
you.
No, okay, let's do today's synopsis and introduce our guests.
Okay,
we're having too much fun already.
Okay, well, a little synopsis of this little crazy episode.
It's called
Synopsis.
Heart, no. So last week it was Hannah's Diary. This week it's Hard Being Easy.
Okay. And then
are you gonna do the synopsis or shall I?
We can do it in tandem.
Okay, so basically in this episode, it follows right after the end of Hannah's Diary, where the episode ends with Charlie reading Hannah's Diary on stage as a song.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's basically about how Marnie doesn't love him anymore.
And yeah, so now our first scene of this episode is Charlie, Marnie, and Hannah all in one room. And then Hannah is being forced to read the passages from her journal to Charlie and Marnie. And Charlie absolutely freaking the hell out and storming out of there.
And then Marnie is kind of mad at Hannah for having a diary that said those things. But she's mainly scared about losing Charlie because she's not ready to break up with him. So she's doing everything in her power to get Charlie to forgive her. And then Jessa has never been broken up with except for this one British dude who comes to town who now has a girlfriend. And Jessa is like pissed the hell off. And she's like, I'm going to get him to have sex with me. And she does. And she's like, yeah, nobody can play me.
Yeah, Shoshana's barely in this episode, really.
But
One
key amazing scene is she watches her cousin have sex with her ex, which is cool. She kind of hides in her closet. No worries at all. And then...
So, yeah, we look at Hannah's arc from here. So, Hannah has two crazy cool sexual partners. And by that, I mean two bad experiences. She is talking about fucking her boss to Jessa and then actually soliciting sex with her boss. And her boss, who has been sexually assaulting her, laughs this off. Is like, that's never what this was about. And then Hannah freaking the fuck out and be like, I could sue you. I want to extort you. And then going to Adam in tandem, where Adam is being like, well, I didn't really think that we were actually doing anything. I thought that's what we talked about.
Yeah, Adam was like, I thought we broke up. And Hannah was like, I thought you kissed me and now we're together.
Exactly. And then as Hannah's leaving the door, she's so upset. We cut to Adam having a really good time by himself, thinking about Hannah. And they kind of are getting back together, it looks like.
And I'd say that's going to go ahead and be a pretty thorough synopsis of Hard Being Easy.
Well, and then we also, Marnie and Charlie in this as well, we're going to cut to their scene where Marnie is going back to Charlie. And after they did have this somewhat of a breakup, Marnie has to find Charlie's apartment for the first time and then beg for him to take her back. And then as Charlie finally accepts her, she's like, actually, I don't want to do this at all.
Totally.
And then that's kind of what these girls were up to this crazy
How do you think
episode.
We did?
Wait, I was so anxious about
giving let's introduce our guests.
This week joining us.
Amelia's fault.
No, it was my fault.
It's all our faults.
I just want to talk. This week, we actually, so it's an honor and a privilege. You're our first T-Him guest.
Wait, I feel really excited.
A lot of pressure, actually.
A lot of pressure.
I've never been the first to him anything.
Connor Janda is joining us today. Comedian, also another podcast host, host of Boys Club. Ever heard of it? It was solid in Vulture this instructor. Week. Also a solid core instructor. If you want to know about doing core work on a doctor device, reach out. Welcome, Connor.
I'm so excited to be here. You made Rachel Koster give the synopsis, and I was like actually legitimately anxious because it's hard. It was a hard episode to give a synopsis of. It's a weird episode.
There's no through line.
I know. The through line, I think, is emotional warfare.
Absolutely. Like, this was kind of vignettes of emotional warfare.
Yeah.
Vignettes of emotional warfare.
Wait, actually, yes. No, I agree with that. I mean, how do we start? Can we jump to the end?
We can jump all around. It's like, we're pretty sure most people listening like are just like, oh yeah, I remember that episode, but they're not freaking out.
They're not freaking out. So we can start off with a segment or we can just talk for a second.
Whatever you guys want.
Wait, what were you doing in 2012? Did you watch it when it originally came out?
Okay, so when it originally came out, I watched it and I thought it was really funny. And then when it got sad, I was like, this is supposed to be funny. I was like, I'm sorry, I thought this was a comedy. And then I kind of peaced out Girl Scout. But I watched it, I think, like everybody, in the sense that like a few episodes of season one where I was like, oh, great, one day I'll move to New York and be gay.
Totally. Weren't you in some random state?
I was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
When this came out. Well, I was a senior.
Random state of mind.
I know. I remember my mom was like, Connor, you would like this. And I was like, she's calling me a faggot. You're a faggot. Let's go. Yeah, I like loved it. I loved Jessa and I loved Shoshana. And then when I watch it back, I'm like, I was young. I was so young.
It's true. It really is true. It's like they're so tangible and like they have such like quirky mannerisms. It's so easy to love them at a young age when you don't fully understand plot.
Sometimes you grow up and you're like, Hannah had a lot more going on.
I know. Well, I was thinking this, like, I think we're all little Hannah.
Absolutely.
Have people said this before? I don't know if it's original.
I mean, people are saying this, but I think it's the whole zeitgeist. I think we're all having a reckoning right now where we're all like, maybe we were all Hannahs all along.
Really quick brings us to our first segment.
Oh my God.
Girl, what girl are you?
Okay, I've been told that I'm like Shoshana. And I think that I am in the sense that I have anxiety and sometimes talk like her. And in the fact that I spent a long time, I used to work in marketing, which I think you did too. Didn't you work in marketing for a while?
Yeah, of course.
And I also did.
Okay, so we all worked in marketing. So at one point we were climbing a corporate ladder. And right now it's 1:39 on a Friday and we're sitting here recording a podcast. So like, I think we have jumped from the corporate ladder a little bit.
I would definitely peg you as a Shoshana because you tell stories kind of in like as if like you're running out of time. Which is so
show. Distinction too that they make in this show where it's like all three of the other girls live in Brooklyn and then Shoshana's the only one that lives in Manhattan.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
I
guess Jessa kind of lives with,
I obviously thought that was cool in 2012.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, what are you doing in Olita? You've got to get out of there.
Get that girl to the Bedford L stop.
Yeah. Get her away from Delancey Essex. It's not, there's nothing, it's nothing good.
That's not for her.
I know. Yeah. Okay, so I originally thought I was, I actually thought I was Jessa at one point, but then I had gained like a 1% self-awareness. And I was like, okay, I'm not.
It's cool that you were like, I think I'm Jessa.
I don't think, and you said this, you said this off pod.
Sorry.
Off pod.
I hadn't pressed record yet.
We don't know. We don't know Jessa. Like,
we don't, she's more of an idea more than any of these girls.
Yeah. Because she was walking down the street and she's got a bun on her head. And she's I don't think we say kimono anymore. What do we call a kimono? She's wearing
you are right. I guess it's technically a kimono.
An international robe.
An international robe.
And she's got these dangly earrings. And I'm like, who? I don't even know people that dress like that. And then, I don't know. I don't think we know anyone that like fits the Jessa bill. And then later, like when she's getting married at like 24 and she lives in New York, it's like, who is this person? I know a lot of people that are 24 in New York. None of them are married. That's like kind of the whole thing about being in New York is that you're actually unmarried.
Well, I think the people that are Jessa today are wearing like micro mini skirts or like they're in something like avant-garde, and avant-garde of 2012 is just something so different than avant-garde in the modern era. So I think there are people that dress like her in the sense that it's like, they are being whimsy and have like strong senses of style. And I think the real allure with Jessa is that she is too much herself.
Wait, I think I know two Jessas.
Yeah.
And they're both roommates of people that you know. So I might need to cut this. It might be too nitty gritty.
Well, yeah. We want to know.
Okay. James Wendt's roommate, Erin. James Wendt's roommate.
It works for JVL.
She's Jessa.
JVN.
She's Jessa. I see her on the train sometimes, and she's kind of like Jessa.
I've been dying to meet her.
I've been hearing
a lot about Erin.
You've got to meet Erin. You've got to have James on the podcast. I feel like he loves
both
girls.
Of them, actually.
Yeah.
Get both of them and be like, we heard you were the only Jessa in Brooklyn other than the other one. And Jesse Ballard's roommate, Kenzie, is Jessa. Have you met Kenzie?
No.
She always has a cat eye and doesn't care.
Oh, that's actually, that's Jessa's
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a jurisdiction. I feel like I was at a show last night where every single person would have been Jessa because they're all like short haircuts, wearing something made out of like fake fur and like being so Bushwick.
So cool when you go to a Bushwick event and you're like, oh my God, they're all, because it's like you think they're so different, but when they're together, they're all the same.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I think their appeal is so exterior that you think they're going to be such like interesting people. But the problem with it is it's not, Jessa's the only person where externally and internally it matches so well with the aesthetic.
Okay, what do you think Jessa wants?
Totally.
Because that's where I can't end up. You said this also off pod, but that like, to be a comedian is to want something so publicly. So yeah. Clearly to pursue something.
I think she wants the opposite.
Yeah. That's what
she wants to not pursue.
So we don't know,
I think she wants
like
to love. I think she wants to be loved.
Oh.
I think her whole thing.
It's back to her dad.
I think it goes all back to her dad. And it's like she's like this rich, privileged girl that was always told, like, just be a girl, like, just be a wife.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not really going to do anything else. But I also like am so bored of these men that I'm meeting. And it's like, I don't really know who I am outside of being like celebrated by the male gaze.
Yeah.
So I think her whole deal is like her wanting to feel empowered, but all like she wants to be loved, but she doesn't want to be disempowered by love.
Yeah.
So she wants to be able to control it, which prevents her from actually like letting herself date guys she actually thinks is cool.
Right.
You know?
I take 1 second and it's like, for people, when they first meet Amelia, they don't know how smart she is. But did you hear how insightful that was?
That was really cool to watch.
Oh, thank you.
I knew.
Don't always expect it. And it's so cool for her to prove it.
Okay. Also, and in this, because this episode especially, like where she is, like she fucks this guy's life up. Like she, so does Marnie.
She ruins the guy's life.
But such different contexts.
Yeah. And she, to preserve... No one knows that she was disrespected by this guy except for her. So she fucks his life up to fix her own perception of self, or to like protect her own perception of self.
It was like to fix her own perception of self, because Shoshana's just in the corner like, I'm scandalized. And Jessa is like, oh my God, I feel so good now because I showed him that he can't hurt me.
I will not be smoted. I'm unsmotable, which I Googled. Which I
I Googled the same thing. I was like, what?
What does it mean?
I think it means that you just like won't be dinged, disrespected, right?
Yeah.
Is it tough? Does that have to do with like fire? Like you can't smother it?
Yes.
Like an unsmotherable fire, Greek fire.
I don't know, but yes and.
A yes and.
I think, yeah. I think why not? I think it's also a fake word that they kind of made up. So like, yeah.
Yeah. I could only find roots.
Yeah. We put the pieces together.
I think it's so funny you said she isn't a comedian, because in that same exact passage you just quoted, she goes at the end of that, because she's talking to Shoshana, she's like, hey, write that down. And like, that's the most, every single comedian I've ever talked to them, they're always saying, write that down.
Write that down.
Write that down.
She lives her life like she is the main character of a book that someone is going to write. Like she read Edna St. Vincent Millay in college and was like, this is me. And
she very much lives as if she'll be studied in a century.
Yeah.
What girl are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot that we did that too. Okay, I'll have I'm gonna have fun with a courageous choice.
Catherine Hahn.
Well, okay, so, no, literally.
Why is she even in this episode, by the way? Like, why is that man even in this episode?
Oh, well, it's because we have to build up to the Bushwick episode.
And we need star power.
Fine. Okay, fine.
And
but
we
also
need to plant the seed that Catherine Hahn is like, is my husband trying to fuck the nanny?
Yeah, you're right. This is a long haul. Yeah. Okay, also, why do they need childcare? I'm sorry. Is that bad to say? That dad's always around. Like, he's always there.
Well, he's talking to his friends.
Well, it goes to, like, male. It's, like, it's so much of his, like, masculinity is tied into his independence, I believe. I think that's such a New York concept.
And that's why he can't stay home with his kids.
I mean, it's such a concept, period. Because he doesn't want to be seen as a stay-at-home dad where the wife's bringing in.
That, my dad was a stay-at-home dad, and now I'm on this podcast.
So it goes to show you.
Fascinating, because it is kind of like, this is great that you have a nanny, but you seem to be around. You actually hired yourself a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the implication is he's looking for work. He's working. Like, he's talking to his friends, and that's him working.
Like in the Great Depression when they said that dads who lost their job would kind of just put on a suit in the morning and leave the house to kind of, like...
Yeah, oh,
and then they go to the soup kitchen and not eat. Yeah, we're talking about... Kit Kenridge. We both are, like, the American Girl movie.
That's really dark.
That's our angle.
That's Kit Kenridge. Wait, what girl are you?
Kit Kenridge.
No, what American girl were you? I'm Samantha, obviously.
Wait, I don't know.
It's okay not to know.
It's not up to you.
I don't know the series.
And it's not important. I mean, it's important, but it's not important.
Is there one from like the Cold War or something? Are they all from the Cold War?
I guess it'd be Molly from World War II who loves to tap.
Yeah, I'm Molly, loves to tap.
That's perfect.
You should have seen how big her eyes got. Thank God we got it on video.
The American Girl dolls raised me the whole thing. When I got a catalog of the American Girl dolls, I would spend like weekends at my dad's just reading it slowly over and over the course of 72 hours.
Okay, I felt like honestly like a Jessa this week in a context where it was like so it's like now my third week of unemployment, and remind me to call unemployment office. I called them 7 times. I won't.
They're not going to call you back. You have to find another way.
No, I keep calling them.
They're not going to call you back.
It's like they said, call later. Well, I think this week it was just like me. Like I was just so like random core. Oh God, why did I just say that? So many like little random things I did this week, and then like we'll continue to do the next few weeks. And it's like I feel like that's so Jessa to just like put little things together and build a life around it instead of having like one stable thing that you keep plugging forward. Or maybe
I'm quite worried about Evan because they're unemployed and instead of like sleeping in and hanging out, they're up at 6 a.m. like going to the gym. They're making like protein shakes and then they're going to like 4 coffee shops and to work. And it's like, what are you working on?
Because the alternative would be you wake up at 11 and you're gonna wait. This is never mind. I'm not trying to shame people.
No, I think it's okay.
That are unemployed and waking up at 11, but I feel like you have to build structure for yourself.
I'm learning things.
One has to.
I taught myself puppetry this week. I got a styling gig I'm gonna do.
This is the gig economy.
No, and I know it's. I feel like a gig economy worker that's not making any money.
Oh,
but that's not the point. All my projects I'm doing are like for free because I'm just like a.
Oh.
Well, I could figure it out.
You gotta spend money to make money.
I'm figuring investing some projects out. There's some stuff on the way, which is exciting.
That is Jessa. Do you remember? I think it's episode 3. So you already did this one where she says, the funny thing about a job is that every day you have to go no matter how you feel or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Did that already happen?
No, you're right. It was like, was the last episode?
Yeah.
That's what you're kind of describing with yourself right now.
No, you're right.
You have to do it. So I was famously sick all week, but I was still having to kind of do my job.
I should have done it.
It isn't fair.
That's not right.
And Amelia, what girl were you this week?
Okay, so this week I'd identify as Shoshana because I was on bed rest. And of all 4 of those girls, I feel that girl's always kind of in bed watching TV. And that's exactly what I did all week.
She is. Because even in this, wouldn't she leave her house? Because I don't know what happened in episode 4. Like I saw a while ago, but I did listen to the Rachel Koster episode where you do the small, medium, large baggage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's also in a Snuggie.
She's in a Snuggie in the last episode, which reminds me. Of me this week.
And then in this one, she's just like in her room.
She's just in her room. It's like, crazy. And you know, she's the type of NYU student that's like, I'm going to class and that's kind of the only place I'm going.
I don't know. Snuggies for me are so weird because you're actually, right now, this is actually a storage container, the couch we're sitting on. And in this couch there is a Snuggie.
It's very New York.
I do love the Snuggie, but I got it at my camp friend's bar mitzvah and his whole family died in a plane crash in Costa Rica.
Wait, so it's like, did he die?
Died? Yeah. What?
Wait, your friend died?
We were friends. We went to camp and we also went to my high school.
And but the
like,
Snuggie that
I got from his bar mitzvah, we're sitting on top of, and I still
what
use it
to this
day.
What happened in Costa Rica?
He was on a plane and then the plane crashed.
Was it a private jet?
It was like 12 people. And then the sister of the prime minister, is that what they have in Costa Rica? Prime minister. It was 2 Jewish families and I kind of knew the other Jewish family too. So it was 12 Jewish people on the plane and they all died.
And that brings us to our next segment.
You've got to fly commercial.
I know, I won't fly private after that.
Yeah, JetBlue like only. Sorry about your friend. Moving right along.
Oh, yeah.
I'm liking this part right here. What would you say your favorite part of the episode was, Connor?
Okay, I think that it is really beautiful when you see Marnie spend this entire, not beautiful, but it's like just fascinating when she spends this entire episode trying to get this guy back. And then this guy that she doesn't even like, but I think kind of like Jessa, maybe not dissimilar to Jessa. She was like, felt like she didn't have the power in that situation. And she was like disrespected by him. Not disrespected, but like he broke up with her. Like it's her. She's the victim of that.
And she's so like in a place, like even Hannah says it, like is not willing to break up with them, even though she knows she should.
And but then when it becomes out of her control, she like goes really hardo to get him back. And then the moment that he does like give her loyalty again, she's like, I think we should break up. Fascinating.
So funny. He's inside of her.
Yeah.
And she's like
in their canopy bed from Pottery Barn.
First of all, she goes to Charlie's house.
He made that bed.
He bought that from Pottery Barn. He financed it from Pottery Barn.
No, he made it. And sorry, I'm a Charlie defender.
That's a thing.
It's not a canopy bed because there's a desk on top of the bed.
That
you've never seen that before.
That apartment is too large to be using space in that way. Like you have. The desk
That apartment's so tiny.
No.
It's literally a studio. Did you see the little suit?
I found a spot for a desk when I was watching the episode. I was like, that's where you can put a desk. Do you know how small desks are? I was like, desks are so tiny. Also, I think what's fascinating when she says, this looks like a Target ad. And I was like, I have to let's all do a line reading of this. Because it's like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
So I actually wanted to do this scene as performance art. Like this particular scene.
Yeah.
Where it's like, doesn't matter if I love you or not. I chose you.
I decided on you, Marnie.
What does that mean? I know. And it's
okay, no, because there's boys that exist like this that are like, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to find like, my girl, and she's gonna be my girl, and doesn't matter, like it's just like an idea. So he has this idea of his head of this perfect girl, and it's the girl he met at Oberlin College or whatever. She's
with
like
bangs.
She has bangs. She's stuck.
We can talk about that in a second.
And she's like, wait, please help me, stand with me, and blah blah blah. And he was like, this is my girl. I will marry this woman. She will raise my children. Like men are so like that. Like they find one girl, and they're like, this is the girl that's mine. And then, so he's also like a control freak in the same way Marnie is, because Marnie's like wanting him to be his guy, but now she's bored and she's like not able to mourn the fact that like she actually doesn't like this person, even if she wants to.
And does he love her? Does he love a relationship?
No, exactly.
He is truly in love with her.
Well, but that's really interesting because remember when she says, he says, you're not in love with me. And then she says, well, are you in love with me? And then he says, it doesn't matter. And it's like, well, what is the answer?
No, literally.
For the podcasters at home, what's the answer?
Well, then when they're actually having intercourse, he's like, I love you. I love you.
Love intercourse. We've got to keep, not like literally, but like you got to bring that up. Yes. They're scientifically having intercourse.
And he's like, I love you.
And he says it twice. And then Marnie then. Right before, like when the cadence is when she should have said it, she smacks her head on top.
But he doesn't just say I love you. He says he's kind of crazy. Like he's
no, he decided. Not kind of. Imagine if somebody was like, I decided on you. I'm like, that technically could be sweet, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as like in The Notebook when Ryan Gosling's like, you're my girl, and it's like
it's not romantic.
It's like not romantic. It's like.
But it's also scary that like the desperation from him when they're having intercourse and he's like, act like my life matters. Don't abandon me. Or like, I forget what exactly his words are, but like that's the whole.
You can't abandon me. My father abandoned me.
That is not dirty talk. Okay. Yeah. That is a to-do list of things. And like, that's not fun. And like, yeah.
Imagine having sex with somebody and they're like, my dad ignores me, so I can't have you be that way. And she's like, no problem.
Well, I think, he's built this bond and she fits such a good point. Such a Texas point for Millie to bring up too, that a guy is just like going to decide on a girl. I think it's in New York. It's usually, I think, especially with college relationships, it's like it's so easy just to like keep yourself in that bubble because you don't have to. In New York, there's so many options, but if you can stay in that one relationship, it's like people in New York, there's so many times I see this so often. The first people that people date in New York, often there's a good chance they end up dating them for a little bit just because after that point, you realize how many options there are. Yeah. So after, if you date someone, the first person you date in New York, there's a high chance you end up dating them for a while.
So be careful as hell.
For your first time. Everything after that. Go right ahead.
I love just this whole scene of Marnie being like, do you want a blowjob? I'll do anything.
That was almost my quote, was writing down the literal monologue of desperation that this woman gives. Please don't break up. I'll kick Hannah out. Hannah will have to move into an unhoused shelter.
Like she's like literally anything. And then as soon as he's like, okay, she's like, we need to break up.
It's so
powerful. It's one of the most powerful scenes in cinema that we've seen in decades. Wait, what was your favorite part?
When Jess is with her ex-boyfriend and they're walking around McCarran Park and it's like, what's the girl's name? It's like a hard G.
Gillian.
I love that. But then they get so horny. But then they somehow transport being so horny and then they transport to Nolita.
To
fuck. And it's like, okay. You're coming from McCarran Park to Nolita.
IMDb bloopers.
That's far.
Be like, this actually, as a New Yorker, doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That's 25 minutes. You can't be, you're horny for that long?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, jumping each other? Location manager, we saw it, we caught you, and we're calling you out, not calling you in.
Wait, so your favorite part is when?
The fucking.
When Shosha's.
Oh. Sorry, intercourse.
Shosha's hiding in the closet.
Wait, so that is fun, and then she says, you little perv.
you little perv.
He does
perv.
Accents. You little perv.
And she is just silent. Like, she does not have a line in that scene. She just
did
is
they
like,
even pay her for this episode?
I know.
She's in. This is the only part she's in.
Zoiza did not get a penny. Is
she that made,
how you say her name? I don't know. I was going to say, I've never heard that said aloud before. Zoya? Wait, we have to talk now. Zoe. Do they all hate each other? I checked to see if they follow each other, and they do all follow each other.
The actors?
No, they still like each other.
No. No, they're friends.
Okay.
Wait, why don't you think so, though?
I don't know.
Connor, well, take it back.
I think we always feel like women shouldn't be friends based off
and
Sex and the City.
Be friends. Yeah, you're right.
And that's what I think we're basing this off Sex and the City dynamics. But I think some of them aren't as close. Like, I would bet that they're not actually as close with Allison Williams as, well, Jessa and Lena are actually really close.
Close friends. They were close friends before the show. Like, they know each other and they are constantly hanging out.
Right.
And then I think Allison is like in a way that it's like they're not hanging out or texting all the time, but they like are sisters.
Yeah.
And then Zoiza, I think, is the same thing, but it's like she's much younger. So it's like they're probably not besties, but it's like they love, like, I don't think there's any animosity.
They still check up on the group chat.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're like constantly going to dinner together.
Yeah.
I think they're also all playing themselves in the show, which that isn't necessarily true for shows like Sex and the City. Like, they're playing versions of themselves, but it's not their full extensions of themselves. But in this show, it feels like all the characters and actors are truly the same people.
Wait, then I have to ask you, and not to bring up Sex and the City, because I know that's like probably a rival podcast out there somewhere, but they
can't be.
Girls wouldn't exist without Sex and the City, and we respect that.
And we wouldn't exist without Sex and the City.
They mentioned in the first episode.
Sex and the City is whatever. It's fine. I like it. I love it. I love it. I also am just like, this show is so of a different time. Go on a subway.
No, what we said is like, Sex and the City is 2000s New York City girls.
Yeah.
Girls is 2010 New York City girls.
Sure.
And it's like, what's going to be this decade's girls?
Who? Because we're the ladies.
Well,
we're the ladies.
That's a quote from Girls. So you can tell them.
No, we're the ladies.
We're the ladies.
That's really talented.
I'm not the ladies.
No.
I'm not the ladies. We're not the ladies.
All the ladies.
Wait, that is really interesting. I don't know. She's because I do think that I think that Girls represents people that we know so much closer to, like, how Sex and the City represents. But I don't know. But at the same time, Girls is about, like,
no, people in the West Village do.
Is that still Sex and the City?
It's still Sex and the City.
There are still people living in Sex and the City, but I think a lot more people are living Girls because they found out that was an option.
They're also later. Yeah. They're older.
But I also feel like we're in circles of like Broad City, yes.
Yeah, I do wonder if my Pilates clients are Sex and the City.
No, they're emulating that.
Definitely. I'm going to ask them.
To pay $40 for a Pilates class?
You're Sex
but
and
they
the
never
city.
Really work out on that show.
Yeah.
Right, they're just thin.
They just don't eat. And that's bad. To be clear, that's bad.
It's crazy. It's crazy because they drink so much. It's like skinny people can't drink that much.
Okay, but Sarah Jessica Parker or Kim Cattrall. Who's right? I don't know. I think they all seem like wackadoodles, but I do like Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm glad that she did a shoe line.
She made shoes?
She's a whole shoe line.
She owns a lot of businesses.
And Christian Davis, this is an opportunity to say that I'm an alcoholic.
They say you're interesting,
and she's also sober. Yeah, so I was always like, one time I googled sober celebrities when I was like kind of early in my sobriety journey, and I was like, oh,
yeah, you need people to look up to.
So I was looking up to Kristen Davis. Oh, maybe the first, and that's the first time this sentence has ever been said
is
in America in the world.
One?
Charlotte, yeah, my you're mom, Charlotte.
My mom, yeah, absolutely. My mom doesn't like for really, sure doesn't really care about that show, but she did like bring up during Christmas. She's like, you know, Kristen Davis never got married.
Wait, did she not? I always thought she was married to Matthew Broderick.
Like, my mom, like, grabbed me by the shoulder and was like, she doesn't have kids either. And I was like, what are you trying to say?
Okay, I think that you should watch that. You've never watched that show?
No, I have. I have.
I think that you are more Charlotte than you are anyone on Girls. But I don't mean that in a mean way.
No, I agree. Like, I'm so... It's because of my religious past in Texas, obviously, that I'm, like, very, like, a prude.
Yeah.
But then also just, like, the idea of, like, being, like, this is how the world should work. And it's, right. like, not in line with
She's
it.
Extremely type A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Marty's the same.
Which, who you are from Sex and the City? I don't really know. I just, like... You've got to be Carrie. Like, nothing about you says Miranda. I don't really know.
That's
you.
Why I think I'm a Carrie.
I got stuck
too.
On a train with you one time. I think you're a Carrie.
My favorite part of the episode is the opening scene. What an amazing scene of television where Charlie is yelling at Marnie and Lena's on the couch. Well, Hannah's on the couch and Charlie's like, read it. And Hannah's like, I really don't think I should. This is between you two.
Yeah.
And then he's like, read it. And so she does. And it's so writer core of her to be like, I don't think they belong together. Marnie needs to get her, blah, 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 blah. Like, the fact that she would even say that is just, like, something that, like, most girls wouldn't do, but Hannah is the type of girl that does.
Okay. Would someone, and I get that it's for a book. I hear that it's for a book. I understand that this is whatever. Would someone like Hannah write that extensively about another person's life, someone who's so self-obsessed with her?
Okay. Well, as somebody who journals every day, yes.
Interesting. That was the part where I was like, I think that she would write about herself, not Marnie.
Well, I think the only thing a 24-year-old could possibly know enough about to write a whole show about is themselves. So it kind of makes sense that it is that like he was able to write this.
It's through the lens of that because it's also like Hannah is in a situationship with some guy. Mm. So she's processing her own thing by comparing it to like her best friend. And it's like, she's mainly talking about it, how she's annoyed because she has to keep hearing Marnie whine and complain about this guy. And Hannah's just like, my friend needs to break up with him, but she won't.
Okay, that was scholarly. You're right. That in the context of that, she can't get commitment from this man. And then she looks at Marnie complaining that she's too loved.
Yeah.
Like, by a guy in a band, even though he just makes it by a guy in a sad band.
She's
a sad
being
band is
suffocated
a band.
By somebody who's so kind to her, and Hannah's only experiencing men being insane towards her.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that scene that she really just like says her piece, and then like Charlie's having this like giant emotional freak out, and he's the one that's like being the most like typically like crazy girl in a relationship.
Yes.
And Hannah's just like, oh my God.
Wait, crazy girl in the relationship, but then turns into crazy guy when it becomes physical. That is, I'm sorry, that is a straight guy thing. Not to build up a binary, but like
the coffee table.
I have never.
That was he him.
Yes, I have never in a moment of rage. Thrown a coffee table, even if I built it, which I never have done. But like, even if I had built it, I'm not throwing it.
We've never punched a hole in the wall.
We're not.
We've never
that.
Broken it. I'm like, I have a voice. Crazy. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that was the part where I was like, okay, this is, men are terrifying.
Men
yeah.
are terrifying. It's just so funny too. When Raise at the your end, voice. They leave and Hannah's like, okay, like I know that was crazy what just happened and you're like going through something, but it's like, what does she say? It's like, can
if it wasn't about
no, it's
you,
like, would this be a good essay or something? Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah,
you're
like,
so right.
Emotions aside, even though you're right on the middle of them,
yeah.
would this be an amazing essay for my novel?
Okay, amazing. I think
Marnie's not even mean to her. This entire Marnie, no. I believe, in the last episode, I believe Marnie throws a drink on her. Am I wrong?
Marnie throws her drink on her, and then Jess is like, that was awesome.
And that's the only time you see anger from Marnie related to this situation directed at Hannah, which is fascinating.
She's like a little bad in this. I think
she
says
uses
like one
it as
thing.
A weapon to get to make Hannah like. I feel like she uses it to remember what she says at breakfast. She says, so they're eating breakfast after the girls, and where it says that on the screen. And then they're eating breakfast, which also, that's my list of things that people don't do anymore is eat breakfast together. They're eating breakfast together.
That would and never happen.
I know we would never eat breakfast together. No one's ever eaten breakfast together at this table. And she's like, maybe you can understand because no one's ever loved you this much.
Yeah.
And that, so she's like, she's turned into a weapon. And it's
she's like, I'm going to weaponize this when it comes in handy.
This is an episode about Marnie's emotional warfare. She does it to Hannah and she does it to Charlie. She is like manipulating everyone.
She's good at it.
It's her
ace in the hole.
Oh my God. Look at the time. It's quote o'clock.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily my favorite quote, but I just feel like we've talked about so many different segments here. I think I would just bring this up. So then, in this scene, it's like Adam's being like, wait, why would you almost fuck your boss? And she's like, I don't know, for the story. Every single New York influencer right now is always being like, for the story, do it for the story, do it for the memoir.
And then he does the sexiest callback later when she says, why would I stay or something? He says, I don't know, for the story.
No, literally.
So hot. If you want, I go crazy for a callback. If you can call back something that I said, I'm like, okay, so you're obsessed with my freaking words.
No, but I think it's so funny. Doing stuff for the story is such a memento of like, we're trying to have a human existence here. And like, we're trying to write a fun little story that like, and we think like when you do something stupid, it builds yourself.
I absolutely feel like most people we interact with, they're making bad choices, knowing they're making bad choices.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, I want to like do something and have some experiences, even if they're negative. I just like want to try something, even though it's optically
and some people is 100% me.
When we were on that always train, I was like, hey, I'll probably get closer to these two people I'm unstuck on this train with.
So you got us lost on purpose?
Yeah.
For the story.
Oh, for the podcast booking.
2 months ago.
I got us lost.
2 months ago, we made a 20-minute subway ride, a 60-minute subway ride. And it was beautiful.
And we were leaving the Lower East Side. Which
is we did learn a lot about each other. I had such a different perception of Connor before and after the subway ride.
You said that I was mean.
No, I said that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mean. I'm anxious.
But it reads sometimes as that's when I before I even talked to you, I thought like, oh, he's scary, he's kind of mean. But then I got to talk to you, and you're like so kind.
Oh my God.
After you went your separate ways, it's Evan so turns to me and was like, wait, Connor's really nice.
Wait, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with that. People are in New York are obsessed with it. It's all about the story.
It's literally all for the story.
Oh, the story. And then also like, I know that this is fatal.
For the plot.
The plot, it's all the perception.
Everybody wants their life to be a movie.
They want to make a TikTok clip of it.
Yeah. I know. I literally think like if I walk into a space and I know there's a photographer there, it's like a really different experience than if I walk into a space and there's not a photographer. If you tell me there's not going to be a photographer on your show, then I'm not doing my hair. You know what I mean? So like,
absolutely.
Oh, I never asked like that.
When you were like, we're recording and I was like, okay.
I'm learning so much about myself because I don't care either which one. The thing is I always dress up super weird for every show.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm getting a photo or not.
Everyone, if you're still building a brand, make it a weird brand because it'll make your life easier later on. Like, it'll be better.
Yeah, I wore a normal outfit, and then I took an old woman set yesterday that's like ruby themed, and I put a skirt and a matching jacket over it, and just like I had the most fun time. And then I did puppetry last night, and this like weird set
that is really nice.
And I want to try something weird.
Yeah,
for the story.
Yeah. Also, don't want this to be like wasted time. Like time without a job is so beautiful if you can like reframe. Okay, so like I
love calling
reframe it. Like I just read A Little Life. This is the month. Okay, March 2023. This is the month that I'm gonna feel. And like so, like all of my downtime.
Wait, what's it called?
This is the month you're gonna feel.
Yeah,
I planned it.
I was like, this is the month I feel. But sometimes when I have downtime, I feel sad, and it's like maybe you can reframe this as to being like the time that you read A Little Life, and like you're enriching yourself. Yeah, and that's your puppetry.
I don't know if I want to do it again.
How's that for TikTok?
This is going to be viral TikTok.
This isn't a funny TikTok. This is advice for your life.
Puppetry.
Yeah, I'll insert. Okay.
I've been through shit. I know shit. Read A Little Life. Okay.
My favorite quote is, so Hannah, of course, you guys remember when she sexually assaults her boss back and is like, I know you want to fuck me. Let's just do it. And he's like, whoa, no, I just want to grope you constantly. I'm married. Yeah. That's it. That's
what's the quote?
And so then Hannah, like, freaks out and is embarrassed and, like, well, she's not even that embarrassed. She's kind of mad. She's like, what do you mean you don't want to, like, because Hannah's just, like.
I think she's dumbfounded by him.
She's just dumbfounded by him, and he is just, like, dumbfounded by her. Like, she's like, let's fuck. And he literally is like, Girl, don't quit. And then she's like, I quit. I could sue you. And he's like, you're not going to sue me. Like, it's just like this whole thing. And then she, as she's like leaving the office, is like, someday I'm going to write an essay about you and I'm not going to change your name. Wait, and then love. You can sue me.
That is a beautiful button. She's and a writer. Like, she's a writer.
So she's good. A writer. Like she, as she was experiencing this massive flop, she yeah. was like, I'm going to take my power back by one day being a successful writer and writing about you in a bad way.
What she says right before that I also love, she says, I'm so glad you're not my dad or my boyfriend.
So powerful.
And then, but my favorite part of that scene is her react. So he tries to get her to stay at the job after she extorts him.
Literally, she's like.
And then she's like, what? You want me to stay here?
Yeah.
She's like, are you crazy?
I just try to fuck you and then sue you and then extort you.
It does remind me in The Notebook, where this is a Notebook podcast now, when, remember, it's like a Pat Muff
pass. We have no power.
Someone tries to build the house, and then they offer him over his asking price, and he's like, I don't want a crazy person living in my house. And then, do you remember this?
No.
Yes.
It's relevant.
It's relevant. Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay, good. Okay, mine is like not even related to the plot literally at all. I just think it's like beautiful.
It's not plot o'clock, it's quo o'clock.
Guys like that will try anything once.
Oh, yes!
And then... even love. Jessa says that.
That's it's so funny.
Even love.
Guys like that will try anything
I
once, even
say
love.
That shit all the
Wait,
time.
What
I'm
is,
so mean.
What, who does Jessa say that to?
To Hannah about Adam.
Yes, and the love, like what a beautiful, that could have been the title of that for the whole
Jessa's
show.
Jessa's a fucking genius.
Guys like that will try anything once, even love. Damn.
It's
Damn.
So mean, but so correct.
I just got chills when you said it.
And it's like, girl, where have you been? Where have you been at a 24-year walking around saying shit like that with your dangly earrings and the bun on your head? Like, I'm just, she's a fascinating.
I love her.
The kimono.
She's like, I had a lot of time. My dad never took me anywhere, so I spent my time reading. I think reading Anna St. Vincent Millay autobiographies or something is how she came to exist.
Wait, okay, last segment. That outfit in Brooklyn.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
When Marnie goes to Charlie's house, she is fully in 4-inch heels and a trench coat.
Wait, I almost, okay. With a power pony that's curled.
With a power pony, and it's like, girl, what? It's like, was 2012 that
Those
still happening?
Those are fascinating, though, because where is she coming from? Is she still working at,
I guess
she working
she's
art
at the
gallery?
Art gallery.
I guess
still.
She's coming from the art gallery, but it's still like, were
are
they really
Louboutins? I don't know anything about fashion.
I swear to God, there's not a 24-year-old today going to their art PR job in a trench coat and 4-inch heels. Like those heels were tall.
I think that the trench coat could exist from a vintage store. I just don't think that Marnie is the girl that would have it.
Like, no,
in 2012, no, people were wearing that. Like that was
she wasn't
that
going
was,
to vintage shops.
Oh no, God, I think in an art gallery, it's like you're meant to look so like prim and proper. Like especially in 2012, like it. Right now, like, all the art gallery girls are, like, just, like, they're in, like, a cute, like, floral dress. And it's, like, in sneakers. Yeah. Like, it's more casual now. Or, like, if it is elevated, it's, like, blazer. And it's, they're always tall and skinny. Like, she does look like a girl that would work at an art gallery.
I
like, it's
like, girls today, business casual, they're wearing a nice sneaker.
Before
they were wearing heels. And that's the difference between 2012 and
2013. Well, no one, is anyone wearing a 4-inch heel other than go to, like, 3 clubs?
I don't even think people wear them to the clubs anymore. Like, the only people who wear that are, like, people at the Met Gala.
Wait, I also love... Wait, side note. But this is that scene where she's... Well, the whole Pearl plot is in his apartment. But where he's like, something about you shouldn't come into my house anymore. And she's like, but I love your house. First time she's ever been there. She's been there for 20 minutes. But I love your house.
But I love your house.
She says it like she's been... She says it in the most matter-of-fact passing way. And I'm just like, this girl...
Have you been to Eavesdrop in Greenpoint?
No, what is
the
that?
Bar? It looks so much like Charlie's apartment. It's like really
Maybe
insane.
It is. Does he live in Greenpoint? No, this is my favorite. No, this is my favorite quote from
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
My
back.
Favorite quote is where she says, it's hard to get here. And he says, it's not that hard. I just take a bus to a train. And I was like, if you don't live off the L train, I'm not going to see you. And I'm sorry. Because you guys kind of live off the L train. That a bus to a train is a long time. Like, that's like a lot of time. Wait, you guys don't agree with me? Am I crazy?
No, I understand what you mean.
Like, if you live in, like people who live in Hell's Kitchen, like, we're not going there. We're not doing that.
Oh my God, we had to go to Hell's Kitchen last week, literally a week ago from yesterday. Took us an hour and 15
Never
minutes
go
to
alone.
Get home.
Oh my God, you're not supposed to go there alone.
That was hell.
They should. I think there should be a rebrand that place. I think it should go from Hell's Kitchen just to hell. That's how I feel about that damn place.
Wait, I was there last night. alone. Wait. I was
Where
there alone.
Where did you go? Connor.
I went to a comedy club that I won't name, but it was in Hell's Kitchen.
Broadway?
No, I'm not going to name it, but it was in Hell's Kitchen. And I was like, I love it here. It's just weird. Hell's Kitchen's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot.
We love you, CB.
There's like 9 trains, and somehow none of them are the one I want to be on.
No, it's so cool how many trains are in New York, and none of them are going where I need to go.
No. Wait, I've abandoned the ship. Okay, wait, my things that are crazy are, well, okay, they're giant TV. They have this enormous, yeah, okay.
Were we the only people in this decade that still do this?
Not the screen. And I love a TV in a room. I love a TV in a room. They have like a boxy TV that is very fascinating in their apartment.
Yeah.
Their apartment is very 2012.
Totally.
Eating breakfast together, I already said that. They have, okay, breaking down boxes. Hear me out.
Oh my God.
Hear me out. At one point, the boss is like, says something to her about her, she's breaking down boxes. I don't think people are breaking down boxes anymore. I think we're just throwing them in the recycling bin and running away.
I don't think people ever were.
Yeah.
No. Unless in a corporate setting.
I always do because
so right.
I'm type A and I want to be able to stack them in the recycling room.
Well, if you have a lot, if you're moving in somewhere, I'm breaking out a box because there's just so many of them.
I rip my name off the box and just throw it anywhere.
Okay. Well,
I think that's actually harder to rip your name off than to break it down, honestly.
I know, I think that's my roommate.
Okay, the one thing I noticed was in Shoshana's apartment, she has a giant decal on her fridge of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my God.
That is so 2012, like city girl. Like, it's the idea of like going to Target before you move into college. Memory.
In 2014, my rug in college was a giant rug of one of those red telephone booths from London.
Yeah.
Babe, show don't tell.
Wait, the rug was a telephone booth?
It was just like from Walmart because I wanted to be like, I'm international.
Totally.
And it's
no,
like
it's so like
you international go to people would have a beige rug.
You go to IKEA and it's like, they're like, do you want this picture of London? And you're like, yeah, this is going to be the main
that
thing.
That sounds like Target to me though.
And it's like, babe, dream big. You can go to London. Big. You don't need to just get this rug from Walmart that suggests that you know what it is. Like,
go there.
Big. Was it shaped like a tail?
No, it was a rectangle. Like
it's so my room in high school was literally just like a London telephone booth, the Brooklyn Bridge,
of course,
Paris.
I, of course, had the Brooklyn Bridge in my bedroom at home. Every time I've ever bought a shower curtain before I moved to New York, I was like, should this be a New York shower curtain? No, it should be beige. It should all be beige.
My room theme was city. Like, that's not. It should be beige.
And if this is you, I want you to know that one day you're gonna be able to move.
Yeah, one day you can actually live in New York or London. Paris, maybe Tokyo.
You can live here. You might not like it. I think you have to give people a warning because I think people keep coming to New York with such expectations of grandeur. And it's like,
you have to
come to New York with a purpose. Because if you're moving here just to be here, I think that could be literal hell.
Expectations are the enemy of joy.
Oh.
No expectations.
Whoa. Actually, stop the podcast right there. I want that to be the last word said.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Okay, and then two things that also don't exist anymore. At one point, okay, Marnie, when she's like, I'll give you a blowjob, she says, I'll answer your sister's IMs.
My brain won't run.
Yeah.
Remember that?
She says, I'll answer your sister's IMs. And I was like, even in 2012, that feels crazy. Like, I don't
know. It's like, who are you pretending?
Yeah. I don't know that. And then at one point, someone says Kinko's.
Yeah.
Totally. He's like, I assure you, I talk about a small press. I just go to Kinko's. I get your accent.
At the end, when Hannah's like, being mean to Adam to get him to come. And she's like, I want money for a cab. It's like, nobody would say that anymore. Everybody Ubers.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want money for a cab.
Was Uber not happening in 2012?
I think it wasn't real enough yet.
No, I was a freshman in high school and I don't think we had Uber.
Did we have closing. Anything else?
Well, I think this was a really great episode. Season 1 is
bad.
You killed that. You're so smart. You made us look really smart.
We're going to have so many academic, like people are going to do essays on us at NYU.
No, people. Oh, we actually are. We're getting interviewed for this podcast from an NYU student.
Which it's like, I've always dreamed of being in the school paper at NYU without actually having to go there. And now it's happening. It's like girls can do anything.
I'm so excited to update.
There is going to be a 17-year-old out there that didn't get into NYU and is like, okay, but I'm hearing other options. I'm hearing, I'm actually here for the marathon, not the sprint. If you're going to NYU, you're here for the sprint.
You don't need to be in student debt. You just need to make a 19-year-old happy.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, but Connor, thank you so much for being on.
Wait, thank you so much for having me to your house.
And if this episode seemed choppy, there was just a lot we had to cut for legal reasons, and that's no worries at all. Connor, if people were pilled on you and wanted to learn more, where could they find you?
Okay, listen to Boys Club. It is a podcast that I love with my co-host Nico Carney, who I also love. And then you can find me on Instagram at Connor Janda, ConorJanda. That's like Panda with a J.
Wow. Woo! Otherwise, y'all, we'll see you next week. Once again, please, if you haven't already, leave us a review on Spotify or Apple. It's so important in these early days that we get those reviews up.
Please rate us.
Bye, everybody.